such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm Loretta Freilich, and usually the partner of Mary Fiorito. And while I'm still her partner today, she is off evangelizing and giving glory to God in additional work for the kingdom. And so we wish Mary every good gift of the Holy Spirit. And we fill in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change every Monday. And it is my delight today to be here with Nick. And we're not going to break the radio show today, are we, Nick? And we're going to talk about some upcoming topics that are on our calendar. And I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about Pentecost. We're going to be talking about the Eucharistic revival. And we are going to be talking about Memorial Day. And so we got a lots and lots of information to cover, but you know, we always start with our list of intercessions, and we want to pray for our nation this day that the Lord will continue to protect us and keep us safe, that the situation at the border will be just and fair, and we also want to pray for the success of the court rulings to end the abortion drugs that are sent by mail, RU486, as they used to be called, and now they just have these very difficult-to-pronounce names so that we can get confused. Mifepristone and Misoprostol, and they are what were commonly referred to as RU486, but we are praying for the success of those court rulings to end the mailing of those drugs and their use throughout the nation and the world. We also continue to pray for all of our faithful that are out there that are taking a hit for Jesus by proclaiming the gospel and their persecution by nations and others. And so we pray for the good health and protection of Cardinal Zen and Jimmy Lai. We acknowledge that China has violated the Vatican Agreement, whatever that is, again, by appointing a bishop that has not been approved by the Vatican in China. And we also want to pray for Nicaraguan Bishop Rolando Alvarez, currently in Modelo prison with the other dissidents, alleged dissidents, and the priests and catechists with him. And we especially pray for the conversion of President Daniel Ortega. And I, you know, I mentioned these prayer intercessions, and I mentioned them, you know, not to be Debbie Downer, but we have a friend of the show that's on with some regularity, Andrea Bacotti Bayer. And I remember asking her when we were talking about the China agreement, and she's the one that says we don't know what's in it. But I remember asking her, you know, what do we do? She said, be aware. Your prayers, we've learned. Now, everybody listen now. Dobbs did not come about because of strategically planted Supreme Court justices. Justices were able to be placed on that court, the Supreme Court, because of God's intervention in our nation due to prayer. So if you've got a memorare, pray it for these intentions. And we lift up our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for our faith. It wasn't hard to go to Mass for me today. Won't be hard to go next Sunday. it won't be difficult for me to spend time in adoration. I am blessed to be on the radio. I'm blessed beyond measure, proclaiming Christ crucified, died, and rose again. And the result of that resurrection and ascension is His being able to send the Holy Spirit. I can say that out loud. I can pray for these dissidents because of Christ. And so we are free to share Him with our neighbor. We are free to tell people, God bless you. We are free to live our faith as we love it. And so we want to pray for these who are persecuted on behalf of the King. And so we have Pentecost coming up this week, this Sunday, May 28th, will be Pentecost Sunday. And that's where we celebrate the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit was sent to us and sent to give birth to our church and to experience the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the other followers in the room. But before we get to Acts 2 in our Bibles, I know I brought the big book today from the coffee table, as Father Simon says, but I brought mine. Anyway, there is a funny story to that one because it is what happened when I first went to my first prayer group. But that's a story for another day. We want to talk about Pentecost. And if anybody has not had the opportunity to read Acts of the Apostles from beginning to end, I highly recommend it. It is an excellent read. Indiana Jones has nothing on Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. And so we see that the apostles don't want Jesus to go. They want him to stay, and they want him to restore the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus tells them, that's not for you to know how that's going down. He doesn't quite say that like that, but he does say in Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. But what's interesting is the word he uses for power is dunamis. And I know that we all understand power. We get it. You know, the reins of power are handed over when a new mayor is elected. And they take their, they go to a swearing in and there's an oath. And the power transfers. Okay, but it's really kind of paper power. You know, it's I get to be mayor and I get to make these executive decisions, but you got to do something to get them. The president is sworn in front of the whole nation, and they receive the power of the office of president. So Jesus is talking power here, but he uses a different word, and he uses the word dunamis, and it's the Greek word for power. So it's also, interestingly enough, the Nobel Prize winner who invented dynamite. Not dynamite. Dynamite explodes something, right? He was looking for a word to name this new invention of dynamite. And we've all, you know, we all see the old Westerns where they're building the railroad and they're blowing up the mountain and they put a tube of dynamite, a stick of dynamite in the mountain. And then everything explodes and it's all broken up and you no longer have a mountain that is impeding the railroad's progress. But the word that he used was dunamis. That's different than handing over power. It was dunamis power that the apostles were to receive. And that's what he told them. And if you read the rest of the first chapter in Acts, you see that they're all returning to Jerusalem, but they had a group of individuals that went, and they went to the upper room, because you got to know they were scared. I mean, Jesus has not been gone so long. He's ascended to the Father, but they were so filled with joy beyond measure when they had him back with them after the resurrection, but the fear that those who came for Jesus might still come for them. And they didn't have the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit yet. Their faith had been restored, enhanced, built up, edified by the fact that Jesus had come back. But now he's leaving, and he's gone. And, you continue to read in Acts, and you have the example of the individuals who were getting out of Dodge. I mean, the two guys on the road to Emmaus, they weren't sticking around. I always love the question, didn't you hear about everything that happened in Jerusalem? And that when you hear that statement from two men that are leaving town to this mystery man, they're talking about Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And so basically, these guys are all hanging out, and they are hanging out in that upper room where the Last Supper had been performed and celebrated. And what's really, really exciting is this is the last time that we see Mary, Blessed Mother, interceding and praying for the church. And so they're all together, and they are in that upper room, and then you go to Acts 2. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you about Pentecost. Pentecost wasn't always Pentecost as a feast of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was a feast that they used for the first fruits, the gifts of the it was a celebration that they had that talked about receiving the first fruits of each member, each farmer, it was a feast of harvest. They came and offered it to God, and it is the 50th day after Easter, and it's a day of celebration. They were grateful to God, and they were offering him their first fruits or their harvest. And so there's lots of religious Jewish people in Jerusalem, and now the apostles are back in the upper room. And you read in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, our God is a God of suddenlies, amen? And suddenly, a sound came from heaven that was like the rush of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is important because now what has happened, we have empowered the apostles. And what we're going to see happening is Peter's address to the people that were in the town, the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. And then he quotes Joel. He quotes the prophet Joel about the last days. What will happen? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then he talks about what that's going to look like. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And he begins to tell them how this is going to end the old covenant and bring in the new covenant. And he talks about how all of what was prophesied as of old will come to them. And God had a definite plan for Jesus and for you. And so he tells them all this. Now, what I love about this ability that Peter is now preaching to 5,000, what I love about this ability is, remember, this was the guy that was even intimidated by a servant girl at a fire in the dark when he denied Jesus one of three times. And now, you know, 3,000 are being added to their number because of the power of his preaching. So we praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we thank him for the way in which he uses Peter. And if he can use Peter, people, he can use you and me. So when we come back from our first break, we're going to talk more about Pentecost and the kinds of things that we should expect to see happen in our lives. I'm Loretta Frelick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 FM WFSI.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick, filling in for Father Anthony, as I do every Monday, with Mary Fiorito, and we're talking Pentecost today. And when we last left, Peter was proclaiming Christ crucified, died, and risen, and the Holy Spirit can come upon you and change your life. And we look and continue reading Acts. We look and we see that fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. They were all together. They had things in common. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And as you continue reading in Acts, you continue to find the the miracles. I mean, signs and wonders. Miracles. Now, we all know signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are never for themselves. They are never about the person for whom they were performed. Signs and wonders point to Jesus, or they are not a true sign and wonder. They are counterfeit. Signs and wonders point to Jesus. And that's what was happening. You see that Peter and John were going about in prayer, and there was a lame man from birth, and they healed him at the Gate Beautiful. And you see, you continue on where Philip has an extraordinary experience, whereas he's able to catch up with a carriage. I mean, let's think about that. The eunuch is reading Isaiah, but he doesn't know what he's reading, and he even says, as Philip catches up to him. Now, how about through the Holy Spirit would Philip know to catch up to him and hear what he was saying? But Philip catches up to him and opens the scripture for him. The eunuch sees water at one point and says, how about you baptize me over there? And the eunuch, Philip disappeared. And the eunuch was able to go forward praising God as someone for whom the Holy Spirit had fallen on. You are truly blessed in the Acts of the Apostles as you see not only the miracles, signs, and wonders that were wrought by all the apostles, but also Peter and his incredible adding to the number through his ability to speak and speak well. Stephen, who stands up to those and is able to proclaim Christ as they stone him in the presence of Saul, who will become Paul in a few chapters later. Paul, who is able, you know, one of my favorites, we just had a reading in, that's what I love about the Easter readings. You know, from Easter to Pentecost, we are reading Acts of the Apostles. We are seeing and hearing what the early church did in order to set the world on fire. And one of them, when Paul is speaking at the Areopagus, I'm not saying that word right, I'm sorry, but when he's speaking, and he's going through all the shrines to the different gods, and he's speaking, and he says, here, you have a shrine. You already have a shrine to God. You're already on it. You have a shrine to the unknown God. Well, I'm here today to tell you who that unknown God is. And they're converted. And so we continue on to see in the Acts of the Apostles, how the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. We continue to see how all of these miracle signs and wonders are wrought in the early church. We know from the traditions of our faith that all but John met a martyrdom in their death. And so these were men as apostles and the women in the room, but the men, the apostles that were there, were so convinced of the life they had lived with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit so motivated them to face death because of whom they believed in and whose they were. So if you want to do something for the Feast of Pentecost, by all means, dive into Acts of the Apostles and see what is shaking in Jerusalem, and I mean shaking. What is shaking in Jerusalem and Athens and Corinth and all those exciting places that were met by men who had experienced the living Christ. I personally think that one of the braver people in our faith tradition is Ananias. You know, Ananias gets the word from God. Ananias, I want you to go. I want you to go to Straight Street. There's a man there named Saul for whom I wish you to lay hands. I mean, could you imagine getting that call from God? And, you know, I don't know how he would speak to me, but I don't know, or you, but could you imagine? Go over to the Straight Street house where Saul is staying, because I have great plans for him and I want you to lay hands on him. And at which point Ananias, you know, I'm sure he's telling the Lord, but you do know who he is. You do know that he's killing the Jews. You do know he has letters to take them back to prison. And so Ananias is somebody who is a believer in Jesus. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And so think about it. He has that courage to say, yes, Lord, I will go. And so be an Ananias this Pentecost. I want you to really embrace Holy Spirit. Let him fall upon you in a new and mighty way. Now, one of those ways in which it's not too late, one of those ways in which you can pray with the church is to pray the novena to the Holy Spirit. And the novena is the oldest of all novenas since it was first made at the direction of our Lord himself when he sent his apostles back to Jerusalem to await the coming of the Holy Spirit on the first Pentecost. It's the only novena officially prescribed by the church, and it is addressed to the third person of the Holy Spirit. And it is a powerful plea for the light and strength and love so sorely needed in this world by everyone, and you and me as Christians, as Catholics,
we can encourage devotion to the Holy Spirit, and the church will only be enriched. And so I really strongly recommend today is day four. Today is day four of the Holy Spirit novena. And so I just you could just jump right in on four. On day four, I think we're praying for fortitude today. And then you can go back and pray the other prayers of the Holy, day one through four to the Holy Spirit and just catch up. But it is truly a mighty way to be blessed by God and to celebrate the feast day. And we all know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 11, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are ways in which God equips us for church service. So anybody needs more wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and here's my favorite, fear of the Lord. Now, that does not mean, oh God, I am so scared of you. That means I hold God in awe. I mean, awe. I know sometimes it's hard to hold God in awe when you're, you know, walking around in your problems. But remember, the key is to give thanks to God for everything. And that includes all of the situations in our lives. But I find it particularly a blessing when I go somewhere different. So when I go to a lake spot, one of my favorite places to pray used to be this pier, and you would go out onto this concrete block, and you would be there in the midst of all these waves crashing up against the sides, the three sides of this concrete pier that you were on, and you could say nothing but, oh my God, how awesome are you? And so I really encourage you to find an opportunity to welcome the gifts, but also to find a place to hold God in awe. Hold him in awe. Find something he's done in your life, and only God could have done it, and just hold him in awe for that. Now, there are other gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the ones in Corinthians 12 are commonly referred to as the charismatic gifts: word of knowledge, increased faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirit, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So we all have just an amazing opportunity to experience Pentecost, jump in on that novena, and get yourself started there. Also, you know, just meditate on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pick one. And, you know, they're just amazing. And we have the opportunity to pray those this weekend in a special way, as Pentecost is this Sunday. And it's also a day of celebration of the birth of the church. And so we've had some fun things to do. Our parish has had happy birthday celebrations. And yes, we get balloons, the colors of the flame. And so we get red and orange and a little bit of blue. If you look at down at the bottom, if you look at a flame, it's always moving and active, and it's got lots of different colors. And you look at those colors, and one of which down at the bottom is that blue. And that is a flame that's going to set your heart on fire. And we want to rejoice in the birth of the church among all of our listeners, because we are blessed to have our Catholic faith and our Catholic Church. You know, we've been around for over 2,000 years. We don't make it up as we go along. We reside in the faith that the apostles spread throughout the country or the countryside or the area, you know, all the way. Don't you ever get excited when you see, like, the Catholic faith, like, moving and grooving in, like, England? Well, it traveled a long way from Jerusalem, didn't it? When you look and see Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostles, go and tell the others I have risen. So when you look and you see all of these people that have held the faith dear and have shared the faith. It is something that we want to celebrate. I know that one of the traditions in Italy is they drop red rose petals down from the choir loft or balcony. I mean, that must be so beautiful to watch that as the churches in Italy celebrate Pentecost. But it's not too late to ask Father, can we do something to celebrate Pentecost? And we all know that the color that is associated with Pentecost because of the fiery flames of tongues of fire over the apostles and the women in the room, we all know that color's red. So be sure to wear red on Pentecost. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Eucharistic, the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. I'm Loretta Freilich, and this is Wind of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Most reality TV leaves out half of reality, the faith that drives us from within. We're giving you the whole picture, real life and faith.
Chris Stefanik is on a journey to uncover the bold, courageous Catholic faith found in the hearts of people all over the world. Meet the everyday Catholics who inspire him as they show the world how amazing faith makes everyday life. Real Life Catholic with Chris Stefanik, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Welcome back, listeners. And if you have the opportunity to watch Chris Stefanik, I cannot highly recommend anything else. Chris Stefanik is on fire for God. And let me tell you, he's on fire for God, and he is trying to reach everybody. And he's done a great job with the Chosen Catholic Confirmation Program. And I teach that at my parish. And if Chris Stefanik's doing it, we need to be listening or watching, because he truly has a heart for God and he wants to share it and ignite the fire in you. So that's another thing that you can do for yourself for Pentecost. You can watch that on EWTN. Watch Chris Stefanik. Now, one of the other things that is going on in our church right now, and it's a really good thing, did you know that only one-third of the people of Catholics, not even just like general people that would have a reason not to believe, but did you know that in a Pew Forum study of Catholics only that was done in 2019, only one-third of those questioned believe that Jesus is really, truly, and substantially present under the signs or appearances of bread and wine. Two-thirds of the people think that the Eucharist is merely symbolic of Jesus. And Bishop Robert Barron identifies that right in the foreword of his new book, This Is My Body, A Call to Eucharistic Revival. And it was a year ago that, or I'm sorry, it was, well, we're in the second year, so it was a year ago that the Eucharistic revival was discussed. I mean, the bishops were surprised by that. And so they decided
that they need to strengthen our belief on the truth in the Eucharist. And there will be a National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis, July 17th through the 21st, 2024. And I know for those that listen regularly, you know that Joyce DeRiga, our editor of the Chicago Catholic, and I are going and will be attending and will be participating. And to that end, the bishops, as you heard on our program over a year ago from Jane Gunther, who is assisting Bishop Cousins in advancing this Eucharistic revival, you know that there are priests. Every diocese is having something. And there are priests who have been chosen, and they will be giving, they are available to give talks. So you organizations out there that need to bring somebody in to have a talk about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, this is for you. But then Bishop Barron, he took an opportunity to write a book, and it is a call to Eucharistic revival. And there are three chapters that cover this topic, and I just want to read them to you. The Eucharist as sacred meal, the Eucharist as sacrifice, and this is my personal favorite. Flannery O'Connor's quote heads the chapter three, if it's a symbol, to hell with it. And that's really an amazing book where he is breaking open the Word of God for us about the Eucharist. It's a very short book. It's 110 pages. Every one of us can read this book. And what's really important, I think, is Bishop Barron is so generous in order to get this book in the hands of our listeners, in order to get this book in everybody, every Catholic's hand. This book is available for sale on his website for $2. You can I bought 200 because I want this. I want everyone to believe in Jesus in the Eucharist. It breaks my heart that they don't believe this. I don't even know where to go to tell you. And so here is an opportunity for all of us to educate ourselves. It covers the church fathers. It covers contemporary writers like Flannery O'Connor, and her response in 1950, you know, that if it's a symbol, to hell with it. And really think about that. What does it mean that it's the real presence? And if it is the real presence, what does that mean for me? And when we go to adoration, we're not sitting there looking at a symbol. We are sharing our time and our heart and our mind and our hopes and our dreams and our sufferings and our needs. We are sharing all those things with Jesus. Jesus, because he is present there in the Eucharist. And we are so blessed that the Lord Jesus chose to do that for us so that we can be with Jesus. Jesus can be with us. And what I find so exciting is that the church is doing this now. They don't want us. The bishops have recognized that only a third of Catholics believe this, and they want us to have the gift of this is my body. They want us to have the gift of revival, that they are gathering Catholics in Indianapolis for 4 days in July. And there are, as I said, it was launched back on June 19th, 2022, when we had Jane Gunther on, and she was talking about the different things that are happening in the diocese. There is going to be the Eucharist processed from one end of the country on each side, from New York and California to Indianapolis. And, I mean, can you imagine, just like the processions on Christ the King. Not, I'm sorry, not Christ, on Corpus Christi, not Christ the King, Corpus Christi. Those processions will go across this nation so that the world knows that we Catholics truly do believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist and that he's the answer to every question. There's nothing that has happened in this world that will not survive Jesus. Jesus has it. There's nothing in this world that happens to you or me or that happens in the world that Jesus does not already know. Do we think Jesus was surprised by COVID? Absolutely not. Was Jesus surprised by the Russian-Ukraine war? Not on your life. Is Jesus surprised that it has come to this, that only a third of Catholics believe, in the Pew study, only a third of Catholics believe that he is truly present? Heartbroken, but it's not a surprise to Jesus. And so we have this beautiful opportunity to order these, go on Word on Fire. The website is wordonfire.org/Eucharist. And I can only think we're all going to be blessed to fully be aware about all that Bishop Barron, who writes so beautifully, speaks so eloquently, and truly loves his people. And so we thank Bishop Barron for pulling this together. We also are so grateful that this is at such a reduced price of $2. This you can get in everybody's hand. So if you want some of these books, This Is My Body, get online and order them today. And we will be blessed, and we will, as we continue to pray, that we are in awe of God, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we can be blessed. The other ways in which we can be blessed this year are, as we've talked about before, we had Alicia Hartle on. She was talking about Jesus 2023. One of the things that I'm really excited about Jesus 2023, it's going to be held in October. One of the things that I am super excited about is Misty Edwards. And I know while Misty Edwards is from IHOP, the International House of Prayer, all of her music I have had the opportunity to hear and listen to and meditate on. Remember when I told you I used to go and stand on that pier? I don't live there anymore, so I can't, but used to go and stand on that pier, and I used to sing her songs, you know, because the songs flow from Scripture. She does a beautiful job in what she writes and the way she prays. And so if you would like to have another experience of Holy Spirit alive and moving, this is an opportunity for you to hear Misty Edwards and hear some great, great preaching in Bishop Peter Smith and Father Boniface Hicks and all of these men and women. I mean, if you really are interested in drawing the youth to Christ, there's a man by the name of John Bellew who will be speaking, ironically, with two young people that he is raising up to carry this mantle of Jesus crucified, died, and rose again for us, sending the Holy Spirit so that we can set the church on fire. So that is, again, a wonderful opportunity. PentecostTodayUSA.org, and you'll be able to find out more about Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And that's coming up in October. But if you can't wait till October, and we just had a couple people on, and they were talking about Encounter Ministries out of Brighton, Michigan. But Encounter Ministries is coming to a Chicago campus near you, and it is going to host a summer intensive.
you will be able to experience the first four quarters of the Encounter Ministry, Identity and Transformation, Hearing God's Voice, and the Prophetic Spirit, the Prophetic Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who wouldn't want to hear more from God? And Power and Healing, and Inner Healing and Freedom. And this will be held for just over four nights, 5 to 9, not the end of your life. It's not a truly extensive commitment. It will be held from July 31st to August 3rd. And the amazing preaching of Father Raddick, Mark Nemo, Deacon Jean Bussari, Deacon Rich Holivote, and even myself. So we will see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us, but I would suggest you give it a try because it will be a wonderful way to set your summer on fire. And when we come back from our last break, we're going to talk about Memorial Day. This is
how long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church. And a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. I'm Loretta Freilich, and usually sitting here with Mary, but she and I will be back not next week, but the week after. And right now, we have another holiday coming up, and that's why Mary and I are not on the show. We're going to all be celebrating Memorial Day, and it is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, and it honors all the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. And this year, Memorial Day will be celebrated on Monday, May 29th. Now, I just think this is an amazing holiday. It is amazing that we want to acknowledge that men and women have died so that we may be free. Men and women have died so that we may be free. Where in the world do we have a holiday to celebrate those that would give their lives for us? And other than Easter, I'm not finding one. And I think it's so beautiful. And, you know, while some of us are looking forward, and it's okay. Some of us are looking forward to the parades and the picnics. And, oh, I can't wait. The pool's all open. Pool's all open Memorial Day. And it's usually like the coldest day of the year, so you don't get there. But this is a holiday that celebrates people who lay down their lives. And so a lot of Americans will also attend Memorial Day services, memorials. They'll go to cemeteries. They'll participate in parades. Who's going to see a parade on Monday? Who is going to march in a parade on Monday? This is while it begins the, unofficially marks the beginning of the summer season, it also celebrates the tremendous gifts these men and women have given. And it started back in 1865. And it was the Civil War that claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history. And it required establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. And it's believed that it was originally organized by a group of formerly enslaved people in Charleston, South Carolina, less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. The federal government, however, has declared that in 1966, Waterloo, New York, became the official birthplace of Memorial Day, and that's because it was in Waterloo it was first celebrated because they hosted an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flags and flowers. And we all see all those pictures, you know, that will come through on the news of a flag placed on the grave of an American service person. What I find so interesting is that individuals have found this to be something important to them since 1865, and that many states have created the individual event that was celebrated in New York, and it used to be called Decoration Day. And it was called Decoration Day as an official state holiday, and that states continued to decorate the gravestones with flowers and all of the, you know, flags and, you know, different mementos. And it was Memorial Day became the new name that was originally honored those, because Decoration Day was known to have originally honored only those who lost the fight in the Civil War. But in World War I, the United States obviously was involved in another major conflict. And so the holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. And that included World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they moved it to, in 1968, Congress moved it to the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. And the change went into effect in 1971. And it was also declared a federal holiday then. So there's lots of ways in which we commemorate this holiday. We visit cemeteries. We participate in parades. Some people wear a red poppy in remembrance of those fallen in the war, a tradition that began back in World War I through a poem. Many people, you know, enjoy the long weekend. And so if you see a veteran in front of your local grocery store, out on the streets, you be sure to buy those poppies and wear them proudly. And remember, somebody died so that you are free. Somebody died so that you are safe here in the United States. And, you know, I know that my father was a enlisted in the Army Air Corps back in World War II. And he is considered in our family, obviously he didn't die in the war, but he is considered a war hero. So honor the war veterans, honor those that have chosen to serve. I think in so many ways, the service people from World War II came back with so many demons, and so they saw such horrendous events. And I really honor my dad for his service in the Army Air Corps as a tail gunner. He, I think, getting in a tail gun, that it just showed incredible bravery. He also won the Silver Cross because when a fellow crew member was shot, my father climbed out of his tail gunner position and was able to put an oxygen mask on the fellow crew member, and that person survived because of the heroic efforts that my father chose to do. And ironically, my father never told me that story. The incredible bond that these World War II men and women maintained every Christmas. The head of my father's squadron used to call all of the members as they remained alive. And it was after my father died that this man told my brother that story. So honor them, listen to their stories, ask them to share with you, you know, anything that they would have. It is to share. It's truly a privilege. I think The Greatest Generation was a book written by Tom Brokaw and discussed these men and women that went off to World War II and just performed heroic acts, and also, you know, were just men and women that gave their lives and gave part of themselves to serve. And while Memorial Day honors those particularly who died in service, you know, we want to honor all of our servicemen and women now. And that becomes our final blessing for the day. We also want to intercede for all of the men and women, all of the families that lost somebody in the war, because those family members, those families were altered forever. And, you know, fiancés who didn't have a fiancé to come home, fathers who did not come home to young children and wives, sons that never returned to a waiting father or mother. That is a heartache that is felt forever. And we want to just say a prayer of thanksgiving and intercede for all those affected and know that our nation is great because of the sacrifice that was made for them. So that, I don't want to get Oliver Klumped and teary-eyed on the show, but just offer your Mass and Communion for them on Monday if you go. Otherwise, you're going to have to use Saturday or Sunday. And we know Sunday we're asking for all the blessings of the Holy Spirit to come down on us and set us on fire for God. Amen? Because we all know somebody who needs Jesus, right? Sometimes it could be somebody in our own family. In our sphere of influence. And God has put you here for a purpose and a plan. And it is to that purpose and plan that we must be equipped as Catholics in the fight. And so God gave us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we want to spend time reflecting on them. And we also want to spend time taking them into our very being. You know, Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for a powerful church, and you are that church. God bless you guys. See you next Monday.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shadow. shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.